And good morning, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Lifeway Church. My name is Alvin. My name is not Billy. If you came in today and you're expecting to hear from Billy, I'm sorry, you will have to come back next week. It's a great honor to open God's Word with you today. And a special welcome to you if this is your very first visit to our church. We welcome you here. You are welcome here. So today, I wanted to, just like in the past few weeks, we're doing a topical study on certain subjects that appear in the book of Proverbs. And today is no different. I am going to talk about something that is very, very important to us. It has to do about topic, but allow me to ask you a question. How many words do we speak in a given day? This is not a rhetorical question, but any guesses out there? Thousands? Yeah, probably thousands. According to a study in 2014, so this goes back a few years ago, so women spoke on average 16,215 words per day. What? And then men, you want to know how many words men speak? So men spoke 15,669 words per day. So I think there's a stereotype out there that women talk more than men. So not true. Essentially, there's no difference between men and women. And there is also, that is a big number. All to say that we do a lot of talking. And since we do so much of it, we want to get better at it, right? We want to be more effective talkers. We want to be able to express our point clearly in a very kind way. And if you look on the internet, there's no shortage of websites that offer us tips and methods on how to talk better, how to be better talkers. But if I'm honest, as I go through the list of these websites, it seems to me just a lot of these websites are offering tips and methods on how to talk in the workplace, how to have better teamwork because we are effective talkers, and also how to be better talkers in an interview. So these are the steps that you must follow if you want to get that job. But all to say, obviously, we are doing a lot more talking than just in the workplace. We are doing a lot more talking than just in an interview. We talk every day to our family. We talk every day to our friends. We talk every day even to strangers. We talk on the phone. And so we're doing a lot of talking. How do we become better and more effective talkers? So today we are talking about talking. We are going to go through the book of Proverbs, and this is something that we do so much every day in a lifetime. We are going to ask God to help us. We are going to go through the book of Proverbs, and we're going to see what God has to say to you and me about talking and how we can do better, and what can we do about it, and how we can change. The first proverb I want to show you is from Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. And it says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." So there are two persons in this proverb, as you can see. Solomon says that the first person guards his mouth. The Hebrew translated guards his mouth does not mean at all that this person closes his mouth, that he doesn't speak a word. That's not what it means. But the person who guards his mouth means that here is someone who is very cautious with his words. Now, you and I, in the 21st century, we will say to each other that so-and-so is very cautious with his words. But the Hebrew person in the days of Proverbs, he would say that somebody guards his mouth. This proverb says the man who is cautious with his words preserves his own life. Something about a man who is careful with his words saves him from making a catastrophic mistake. In contrast to the first person who guards his mouth, here is a person who opens wide his lips. Again, opens wide his lips does not mean at all that he talks a lot, like the amount of words coming out of his mouth is a lot. But in the Hebrew, the one who opens wide his lips is someone who is not cautious with his words. This is obviously an antithetical proverb. In the book of Proverbs, there are so many different kinds of proverbs, but this is an antithetical proverb because the second half of the proverb is the antithesis. It is the opposite of the first half of the proverb. So this man opens wide his lips. This person says what comes to him naturally. He speaks without control. He speaks without thinking. He speaks using no filter. He is just unrestrained in his speech. The proverb says this man's lips bring himself to ruin. This man's life is in ruin not because of any major mistake that he made or something equally obvious, but this man's life is in ruin because of his mouth. He was not cautious with his words. It is hard work to be cautious with one's words. It is hard work. Most of the time when we want to say something, we just want to say it without doing that hard work. But it is hard work to be cautious with one's words, and therefore this person doesn't do it. He cannot be bothered by it. So now his life is in ruin. Finish the idiom for me, please. Loose lips. Oh, you guys are good. Yeah. Loose lips sink ships. Solomon has observed many, many people in his life. He has seen people whose life was preserved. He has seen many people whose lives came to ruin. And he noticed that in a lot of cases, the person's mouth did it all. It was not because of anything else, but it was because of his mouth. How can something so small be the cause of something so big? How can something so small as being cautious with one's words preserve his life from saving his life from making a catastrophic mistake? How can something so small as just opening wide one's lips bring his life to ruin? Be careful with what comes out of your mouth. Be careful with your words. This proverb says to me, something as small as using caution in your speech can save your life. The second proverb I want to show you is from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. And it says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. There are two men in this proverb. Again, the proverb says that the first man is a righteous man. Someone asks this righteous man a question, but this righteous man does not answer. He does not answer not because he does not know what answer to give, but he does not answer because there's something else he needs to do first. He needs to ponder. What does it mean to ponder? Doesn't have to do with puns. Pondering is very simply thinking carefully about a decision. Pondering requires focus. Pondering requires time. It is hard work to ponder. This man ponders. What is it that he ponders? This man does not ponder what answer he will give, but read the proverb. What does it say that he ponders? The righteous man ponders how to answer. Solomon implies the righteous man already knows what answer he is going to give, but he doesn't say it. He doesn't give the answer, at least not right now. He ponders how he would give his answer. He ponders how he would give the answer he already knows he is going to give. Is it respectful? Is it compassionate? Is it non-threatening? He ponders. In contrast to the righteous man, the second man is a wicked man. That's what Solomon says. The wicked man does not ponder. He doesn't take the time to ponder. No time for pondering. Pondering is hard work. He cannot be bothered by it. So he doesn't ponder. Instead, Solomon says, can we all see what he says? He doesn't ponder, but he pours out. The wicked man pours out. He pours out. In other words, he lets everything come out. Whatever it is on his mind to say, he's going to say it. He blurts out. Notice Solomon did not say it is the righteous man who ponders how to answer, but it is the heart of the righteous man who ponders how to answer. Is there a difference? Why did Solomon think it was necessary for him to say that it is the heart of the righteous man who ponders how to answer? Well, I believe it is because it is his heart who tells him that he must do the hard work. He must put in the time to ponder how to answer this question that his friend is asking. His heart does not let him say what he wants to say right away. His heart is going to do the leading. His heart guides his response. He lets his heart do the answering. In contrast, the wicked does not use his heart. The proverb does not say that the wicked uses his heart, but the proverb says that the wicked uses his mouth. He uses his mouth to pour out evil things. He has all these evil things that he wants to say in his heart, and he pours them out. The righteous man uses his heart, but the wicked man uses his mouth. This is a story between two men. Between one man who is driven by his heart and another man who is driven by his mouth. The hard part of answering a question is not coming up with the answer. The hard part of answering a question is knowing how to answer a question. This proverb says to me, ponder with your heart how to give your answer. The third proverb I want to show you is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In an argument, we just want to say what we want to say. I know that I'm speaking from experience. We just want to get something off our chest. We are in a hurry to explain why we are right and they are wrong. And then after we do that, just let me go home. We are focused only on ourselves. We are not concerned about what words we use. We are even less concerned about what our words would do to others. And without thinking, we use harsh words. And then we quickly find out that they are also upset at us, and they are using harsh words as well. And so there's no end to our argument. The argument continues. And since they feel the same way about us, we are not really having a conversation here. There is no dialogue going on here because the argument keeps on going and going, and it's a ping pong back and forth with harsh words at each other. Solomon says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You have a choice. We have a choice. We have a choice. Either we use a harsh word or we use a gentle word. If we use a harsh word, we can fully expect the other person to also use a harsh word back, and then the cycle does not break, right? There's an ongoing argument, and it doesn't go away. It just escalates. But if you use a gentle answer, by the way, the proverb does not say that both men need to use a gentle answer. One gentle answer, whether it comes from you or it comes from them, is sufficient to turn away a person's anger. I know how hard it is to say a gentle word when we are angry, when we are stressed, when we are tired, when we are hungry, when we are upset with somebody, when we are provoked, when we are angry, when we are in an argument. I know how hard it is. But if we don't use a gentle word, if we keep on using a harsh word, there is no end in sight for our argument. Solomon has seen it too many times where an argument came to an end because one person or both decided to use a gentle response. This proverb says to me, a gentle word is the only acceptable response during an argument. The fourth proverb I want to show you is from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. How would you define a fool? The word fool appears a lot in the book of Proverbs, but you probably already knew that. As a matter of fact, it appears a total of 61 times in the book of Proverbs, and not all 61 times where the word fool is mentioned, does it refer to the same thing? Does it mean the same thing? Depending on the context, the word fools means different things. But in our proverb today, the definition of a fool is simply someone who is not wise. How do I know this? Because the context tells us. A fool is not a wise person. You will not see the words fool and wise being mentioned together side by side. In order for a fool to become less of a fool, he needs one thing. He needs wisdom, but he doesn't have it. Oh, he doesn't have it, not because he doesn't know where to go to look for it. He doesn't know where to get it. He knows that. But it is too much work, he says. It takes too much time, he says. Cannot be bothered by it. So he remains a fool. He doesn't change. There's no hope for a fool. There is nothing a fool can do to improve our impression of him. And Solomon says, not so fast. A fool can only, Solomon made his observations over the years, and he noticed that fools all have one thing in common. It's not that all the fools walk in a certain way or all the fools, they dress in a certain way, but all of them said something to let people know that he is a fool. A fool can only do what a fool does. A fool can only do foolish things. You can only say foolish things because that's what a fool does. You cannot teach a fool to say wise things because that is just not who he is. Solomon says, But what if we were to try this? What if we were to tell them to close their mouths? What if the fool kept silent? If he were to keep silent, it can give him the appearance of being wise. This proverb says, if the fool closes his lips, he is considered prudent. In other words, he can act pretty good. He can actually look pretty good if he were to do just one small thing. A fool may look foolish in a video, but he can look pretty good in a photo. Anybody can close his mouth. Even a fool knows how to do that. If a fool who is unwise can do something as simple as closing his mouth, how much more the average person? If keeping silent can help even a fool, how much more you and me? It is important for me to say here that Solomon, when he wrote this proverb, he was not thinking of everybody. And his point in this proverb is not to say that all of us must learn to keep quiet. All of us must learn to keep silent. When Solomon wrote this proverb, he wasn't thinking of everybody. He was only thinking of a group of people who talks too much and who talks too much of unnecessary things. He wasn't talking to people who didn't say many things. Frankly, there are some people who ought to be talking more. There are wise women and wise men who have a lot of wisdom who ought to be talking more so that the rest of us can benefit from their wisdom. But Solomon here wasn't talking to those people. He was thinking of people who talk too much and who talk too much about unnecessary things. Learn from the fool. He will appear wise if he would just do one thing. Just close his mouth. This proverb says to me, there is hope even for the fool. Keep quiet. Abraham Lincoln says, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. My message today is intentionally shorter. Because God just taught me that I have to remain quiet if I want to appear wise. But here are four proverbs that I'm showing to you that God has revealed to us through the book of Proverbs. What to do when we talk to one another. As we look at these proverbs, it does not surprise anyone of us that Solomon was not thinking about the content of what we say to one another. He wasn't talking about the content of our response when someone asks us a question. It was never about the content. It was about how we give our response, how we talk to one another. People were not cautious with their words. If only people would be more prepared when they talk to others, this world would be a better place. What Solomon is saying is people didn't prepare before they talked. People didn't prepare before they talked, especially in an argument. And I believe that is Solomon's whole point. Solomon didn't spend his life just watching a lot of people. He didn't spend his life watching a lot of people talking. He wasn't listening in on everybody's 16,000 words a day. But he was paying particular attention to those times when people were upset with each other. They were in an argument with each other. They were tired. They were angry. They were stressed. They were provoked. It is during those times that that Solomon was making his observations. People knew how to prepare when they were not in an argument. When things are going well, people knew how to prepare. That's not the problem. The problem is when they are in an argument, when they're tired, when they're provoked, when they're angry, when they're stressed, that all of a sudden they forget how to prepare. All four Proverbs I showed you today are really not meant for us to remind ourselves when things are normal. All four Proverbs are meant for us to remind ourselves when things are not going well, when we are in an argument. Therefore, in an argument, prepare before you talk. In an argument, use caution with your words. In an argument, ponder with your heart how to give an answer. In an argument, use only gentle words. And in an argument, if you are not prepared or if you didn't have time to prepare, don't say anything. It's okay to remain silent. It's okay to say nothing at all. I was told that as Americans, we find the moments of silence very, very annoying. We find it very uncomfortable, and we get very uneasy. And so we do anything to end and to break the silence. But it is far better to say nothing than it is to say something and sin against God. It is far better to say nothing than it is to say something that we regret. Solomon says, even for a fool, he appears wise if he keeps quiet. God understands that you and I have sin. We struggle with sin on a daily basis. We are deeply affected by it. Not just only making the wrong decisions and being unkind to one another, even though those are all the effects of sin. But sin has really messed us up. And if in one word I want to say, like, what sin has done to us, is that we have all become incredibly, incredibly selfish people. Selfishness has really messed us up. And because we are incredibly, incredibly selfish, and everybody in the world is the same as we are going to be in a conflict. It's only a matter of time that we step on each other's toes. And we are in an argument with each other. We have arguments with each other. We will have arguments with each other until the day we die, because we are made of sin. We are also made by the God Almighty. We are incredibly, at the same time, privileged that God has reached deep into our hearts and touched our lives with the message of the gospel. And so we understand today that what is the message of the gospel, and we have accepted the message of the gospel as the truth. And so, all to say that since he made us, and he is the God Almighty, he is the only one who truly knows what you and I must do when we talk to one another. He is the one who truly knows what we must do, how we must talk to one another in order for these arguments to not continue to escalate. Sometime in the past, he spoke through Solomon and gave him the words to say to you and to me. And today's four Proverbs is just a fraction of those words that he relayed to Solomon so many years ago. And so this is important for us to know. These words coming from the living God are going to help us. If we will not take these words seriously and we don't put in the hard work to ponder before we think about how to answer, or we don't take the time to do it, then we are poor reflectors of our living God. We are poor ambassadors. God has sometime in the past touched our lives with the gospel, and now we are privileged to be called the sons and daughters of God. And we are ambassadors now. We need to reflect him in a faithful way. And if we don't do these things, if we are not careful with the words we use, if we use harsh words, we are poor reflectors of our God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the book of Proverbs. It is a very different book to us. But you have given Solomon much wisdom. And through his observations in his lifetime, he has recorded down these Proverbs. And Father, these are your words spoken to us. I pray that, God, in your kindness, you would give us much success as we talk to one another. Talking to one another is easy when things are normal, when we are not in conflict with one another. But at the moment, in the moment of a heated argument with a friend, God, we just don't have the time to pray. So we pray right now. We pray that, God, will you be there for us? Will you remind us? Will you supernaturally just help us recall these Proverbs? And by your Holy Spirit, we will use gentle words. We will ponder. We will use our heart to ponder how to give answers. God, I just pray for you to remind us and to give us success, all to your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.